great day to be here. I'm glad you chose to come today. We're in the second week of this series entitled Bad Blood. I appreciate the song about our Heavenly Father to remember how much He loves us. And in this series, we're talking about bad blood. And what we mean by that is you know, those little conflicts that happen. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have a horrible relationship with someone. In fact, you know, something I found is some of the healthiest relationships can let little things creep in. It can slip in, just like in the video, how that something, just simply a misunderstanding of what someone does. It's funny how that happens, isn't it? You know, you may have a relationship today that is characterized by bad blood. Might be maybe someone at work that you have dealt with or you're dealing with, or it could be a neighbor that, you know, that guy on the other side that always has all the parties and, you know, the kind of thing that's annoying. Or it could be a family member. Maybe someone who in your family, you know, the kind of the guy that just everyone says, you know, man, it's just so hard to get along with. Maybe that be the case. And sometimes relationships can be complicated. You know, they could get better at times, and then they get worse at times. And they're not all that we wish that they were. And so we struggle with those things, and sometimes that happens as well. You know, relationships, that's just a part of what we deal with every day as a person. And some of these bad blood relationships relationships that would be characterized by bad blood, it causes us pain, causes us heartbreak. And you know who it might be for you and who you might think of as a person that you would say you have strained relationships with. And this series to help guide us to healthy relationships. We have an underlying truth we learned last week, and here it is. You can have peace about the relationship without having peace in the relationship. In other words, you can have peace about it. You can say, well, you know, I've done what I can do, and you can have peace about that. And that's what we've been learning, and we looked at that last week, and we see that in Scripture. But we learned that there's a very important truth, and that is the path to peace is paved with empathy. And we learned about empathy being that when we see things not so much from our viewpoint, but we're willing to walk around the other side and look through the other person's viewpoint. See it from their perspective. See what they're dealing with. And that will help us. It may not change anything, but at least it will help us in our own hearts to understand what someone else is going through. You see, empathy can be the key to opening at least a dialogue that leads to a healthy relationship. There are several in Scripture. We can think of one that for me that stands out, and that's the relationship of Joseph to his brothers. Joseph was the 11th of 12 brothers. And God had told Joseph that he was going to rule over his family. And when he went to tell them, they were not thrilled. They were very irritated at him. And his brothers said, we've got to get rid of Joseph. If he thinks that being the next to the youngest is going to rule over us, he's got another thing coming. And so they took him and they sold him into slavery, which later God moved him into a jail where that would be a stepping stone to take him to the palace where he was second in the kingdom. It was 17 years that Joseph had to deal with the issue of his brothers. 17 years. And during that 17 years, I would venture to say that Joseph had to learn some things, and he learned a lot about family and how to deal with that, because you see, the bottom line is it wasn't Joseph's fault. It wasn't his fault that his brother sold him into slavery. It wasn't his fault that God had told him that he would reign over them. And it wasn't his fault that his brothers reacted in such a wrong way. It wasn't his fault. And we learned that in looking at the story, something's interesting to notice here is bad blood, which Joseph's relationship to his family would be characterized by bad blood. Bad blood is costly and complicated. I mean, it costs you peace, and it complicates other relationships. And that's the strange thing about it. When you read the rest of the story, you find out that God did indeed take care of Joseph. Joseph had obviously spent some time with God, and he was dealing with this issue. And at the end of the story that we read, when now Joseph is second in the command, we learned that Joseph had forgiven his brothers. He had forgiven them. He had learned to have peace with the relationship before he had peace in the relationship. And so today, if the path of peace is paid with empathy, then the vehicle is forgiveness. Have you ever driven a car or had a car that you didn't like but you had to have? Anyone ever had something like that? You know, like an old beater car or something? The kind of car that you hoped someone would hit? Well, my wife and I, we first got married. We hadn't been married real long, and we bought this 1976 Ford Granada. And that car was a very used car. But we bought that car, and I'll never forget that the first time it left us on the side of the road was the beginning of many times. But what was significant about that vehicle is it was that which we needed to take us from point A to point B. And to be honest with you, the vehicle that would drive us to peace in our life and peace about the relationship is going to be forgiveness. That's hard. I mean, we struggle with that because for us, you know, we feel like that if someone has hurt us, we have to demand that they apologize. But we have to also learn that not everybody's going to apologize. You know, forgiveness, if it's going to be moving us down the road to peace, it may not necessarily be an instantaneous event in our life. We may find ourselves, when you consider it this way, it's more of a process. Forgiveness may be days, weeks, months. For us personally, as we process through this idea of forgiveness. And something else I've learned, forgiveness may not be permanent. It may be something we have to revisit on a regular basis. We have to go back and say, well, you know, I forgave them, but I got to forgive them again. I got to forgive them again. I got to forgive them again. It's sort of like house cleaning. You know how house cleaning is? Don't you wish there was a way in which you could have like Jetsons have, you know, these, they push a button and their car folds up into a briefcase. Be nice if you could push the button and your house is instantly cleaned. Be really nice if somehow or another that you could just, you know, clean it and it would never get dirty again. But how many of you are like us? You work really hard, you get the house really cleaned, maybe on Saturday, or maybe by Monday it's all good and clean, but by Wednesday or Thursday it's cluttered and dirty again. Anyone ever have something like that? Kind of like clothes, you know. You clean clothes, you get them all clean, and they're all good to go, and you're all excited. But then by Thursday you have dirty clothes again, you got to start all over. Just like that. You know, it always seems like that. Forgiveness oftentimes is like that. You have to start all over. You have to go back and say, well, you know, if honestly, if I'm going to understand this vehicle I've got to drive is forgiveness, then it takes a process. And many times that process involves revisiting that again and again and again. Today's message is not entitled to be a magic bullet. You know, it's not like, oh, well, we got it. All right, we forget. That's it. We move on. Life goes on. It's not that way. It may be for you today that you're just a little less angry than you were last week or a month ago toward that person that you have a relationship that might be characterized by bad blood. It may be as simple as that. It may be just that's the start, but it does start with a decision. So what does this look like? I mean, for us, what do we say? You know what I'm talking about, that person that is in your mind right now. Nathan mentioned a roommate. Anyone ever have a roommate in college or maybe in the barracks when you're in the military? Anyone ever have a roommate that was just like real difficult to deal with? Anyone? I'm not going to ask you, of those of you who are married, if you have a difficult roommate right now, but you know, it's that person that when you think about them, you don't have good feelings. It's almost like you're plagued with the thought of that person, just to see that person, just to look at that person. And you know what's really interesting? Is not only does that affect you, but it affects those around you. I mean, when you have a relationship like that, that's characterized by bad blood, it affects others around you. It's kind of like me. You go to work. Maybe tomorrow you go to work, and let's just pray it won't happen. But you go to work tomorrow, and your boss just decides you're the scapegoat for the day. He's going to ride your back. Okay, all day long it's on you. Where's that project? What about this? Why are you that? Man, I watched you. You're late for this, or you're not. You know, and you just on and on all day long until you and you're biting your tongue. You're holding your tongue back because number one is you want to be a good Christian and you want to honor the Lord and you want to do the right thing. But, you know, you're struggling and you're dealing with it. And then you get home. And one of your kids comes up to you and they say something simply like, hey, Dad, can you help me with this? And you turn around and just unleash it all on them. And the poor kid's like, what happened to my mom and dad that were nice to me last night? What happened to that parent? You know, sometimes that's the way it is. When we have bad blood relationships, we have to understand it does have an effect on other people, those around us. Maybe those at work, maybe those at church, maybe those that we in the neighborhood in which we live. You see, if people are suffering and we are dealing with these bad blood relationships, the starting place is forgiveness. Now, let me explain to you something about forgiveness. It does not mean when you forgive somebody that you condone wrong actions. It does not mean that at all. It doesn't even mean that you forget what they did to you. Because, you know, God has this ability in the scriptures, the Bible says, to forget. We don't. We have this tendency to remember. You know? And it's like the guy said about his wife one time. He said, my wife, when she gets upset, she doesn't get hysterical, she gets historical. You know what I'm talking about? 34 years ago on a Tuesday night, you said this. We don't forget. It just seems as though that there are times, and forgiveness comes with an understanding that we have to realize that even in the best of relationships, that when we forgive, it does not mean we condone or we forget or we expect an apology that may never happen, but we say for us that we want to make a choice to forgive them. Now, let me tell you what unforgiveness is like. When you carry unforgiveness, then, it's like allowing someone to rent space in your head. You know, they have rent-free space. You know, maybe they go through the day and they can think about this person and think about this person, think about that, and you know, and then they start wondering, you know, where can I go? What can I do? You know, because they have this rent-free space in their head and in your head, and you're afraid that maybe I'll see them at the store or go to Walmart or maybe somewhere, and what in the world am I going to say? What am I going to do? Unforgiveness does that to us. And you know what I'm talking about, because sometimes in our humanity, we struggle with that. All of us do. And we think about them, and how do we do that? And if we're not careful, that can rob us of joy and of energy and of peace. Someone said it like this: forgiveness is setting the prisoner free and finding out the prisoner is you. That's good. I like that. I mean, you know, when we like, you know, we feel like that they've been imprisoned by us because, you know, we just don't want to forgive and all of that, then all of a sudden, when we set them free, we realize that it's us. Now, Paul is writing about this because we looked at Paul's life last week, and we're going to pick up the story, but let's just review by way of just as we look into the Scriptures. You want to take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12. We looked at verse 18 last week, and one thing it said in the verse was this. It says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And what it's saying is this: if it depends on you, if it's up to you, and certainly that's in prayer with God, and if it's possible that you do all that you can to live peaceably with all men. In other words, the car that you're driving is that vehicle of forgiveness. You're doing what you can. You're doing all that you can. If possible. It's possible that for you, forgiveness is the way of life, and your relationships will be characterized by being peaceful. But it may not be possible. And Paul says, if it's not possible, let me give you some further instruction on these relationships. Here's what he says. The next three deal with bad blood relationships, or relationships that you would say, well, there's some conflict there. Here's what Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. Notice what he says. He said, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Man, that's not what I want to hear. That's not what I want to hear. Because in my mind, I want to get back. Someone hurts me, I want them to hurt back. We learned last week that hurt people hurt people. In other words, if you hurt and someone does something to you because of their hurt, you want to hurt back. And then, of course, we know that, like we said earlier, that hurt people share hurts with those around them. And here's what Paul's writing. He says, look, the temptation for every one of us is to avenge. Now, honestly, we think of vengeance. Here's what most of us think of. Well, it's like we're sitting there in the corner and we're, you know, kind of praying, dear God, send a Sodom type judgment on those people. You know, dear God, hit them in the head with something. Do something really bad to them. Because they hurt me and they deserve it. But that's not the spirit of what a Christian should have in his life. He says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. That's not what we're to do. That's not what our heart is. Now, maybe humanly, that's maybe what our flesh wants us to do, or what the ugliness of the inside of us want us to do, want to happen. But that's not what God wants us to do. Remember, we're making a decision on how we handle this relationship. And understand something interesting. Revenge is not just external retaliation, but the internal celebration of their misfortune. You see, what happens sometimes is you know, say, well, you know, it's terrible. I just heard that they went to the hospital of a heart attack. Hope they get better. Or they just lost their job. Boy, that's a shame, isn't it? You see, what happens is sometimes we celebrate the misfortune of those who we would have to say are the other side of bad blood relationships. And God is saying to us that we are not to avenge. In fact, here's what God says. God says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Now, here's where I go. Glory to God, all right, amen. God's going to take care of it then. But it's not the way we think. Now, look, here's the thing that God is saying to us. We do understand that sin pays. Sin costs something. Sin will always have consequences to it. And here's what God is saying through these verses, as Paul wrote them down under inspiration, as he's writing and communicating, he's saying to us that as believers, we're to realize that it is not our job to pay someone back if they've wronged us. It is not our job. That's not our place to do that. We're to let God take care of things in a person's life. It's what God's job is. Our job is to believe God. God's job is to do what He says He's going to do. And I want to make sure that we understand what we're talking about here. When He talks about wrath, it's not the fact that God is going to somehow like rain down a fire and brimstone on their life. What it means is this, that the sin has its natural consequences, and God says that those natural consequences will be full. They will come to a fullness in which that person will have to deal with that. Now, here's what happens. Sometimes we look at them and say, yeah, look, man, on the outside, I mean, everything looks good. It seems like they got by with it. It's okay. But you don't really know what's going on the inside of a person. You don't know what a person is dealing with on the inside. And so what we understand then is if we have unforgiveness in our hearts, that unforgiveness boxes God out of a relationship. So if we're sitting here saying, you know, I have this situation at work, and I'm dealing with this person, I don't know how I'm going to deal with it, and we're praying about it, but we're unwilling to forgive, we just box God out of it. We just push God out of the whole equation. And God is saying that He wants to be involved in our life and our relationships. So unforgiveness then is a failure to believe what God says. Can we trust God? Can we give room for God? Because what God is saying is unforgiveness shuts God out, but forgiveness allows God to come in and deal with that situation. Now, what does this look like? What do you mean by that? Well, here's how it might be better written and understood. Forgiveness is when we release the demand for payment that they cannot pay. In other words, here's what we say. A person can't pay back. They can't restore back that hurt that someone did to me. They can't give back to me the loss of peace and the sleepless nights and the tears. They can't give that back to me. There's no way they can do that. There's no way that they can pay back all the pain that I've dealt with. And so forgiveness then is for you and I to release the demand for payment on someone. That's what God is saying. Because God wants us to understand that to release the payment is exactly what God did for us. And we'll look at that in a moment. But let's go on in verse 20. Here's something interesting. He says, not only do we release payment, but he says this. He says in verse 20, look what it says. Therefore, if thine enemy feed him, if he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now, the idea of coals of fire has the idea of remorse or repentance. And here's what it says. It says that what God wants us to do, instead of trying to get back at someone and try to hurt someone and try to attack someone or whatever that we'd be tempted to do, we're to be good to them. And the reason why is because the goodness and the blessing we give to them, if they're hungry, we feed them, whatever, it will bring them to a place, the Bible says, where they'll repent. They'll be remorseful. You say, where do you get that from? It's in the Bible. Let me give you another verse. Romans 2. And look at what it says here. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Now here's what happened. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to this earth. And there's not any of us in this room that didn't wrong God. There's not any of us in this room that didn't sin against God. You know what God says? God says, I'm going to take the long walk down. I'm going to take that long walk, and I'm going to leave the splendors of heaven, and I'm going to come to earth, and I'm going to walk among men, and I'm going to go to the cross, and I'm going to absorb all of the sin and the wrong of mankind on me. Not because they deserve it, and not even because they ask me to do that. I'm going to do that because I love them. And the Bible said that Jesus Christ indeed did do that. That he came to this earth. He absorbed all of that punishment. He died. He was buried. And he rose again the third day. He did that for you and for me so that we could be forgiven. And by calling upon Jesus, we can be forgiven. And what that says is simply this, that God's goodness led us to get right with him. And here's what God is saying. What we really need to do is be a blessing to somebody who would be on the other side of a bad blood relationship so that they can be brought to restoration. That's how God does it. You say, wow. Now, Pastor, now you're talking about something that's very, very difficult. It's very difficult, and I understand that. And it may be down the road something that we have to process. But God says that's what we're to do because that's what Jesus did. You see, Christ's gentleness and kindness leads us to a place of repentance. That's exactly what Jesus did. And here's the question to you. What do you do? What do you do? How do you deal with it? Oh, let me guess. Here's the best way to deal with it, right? Facebook posts. Right? Let's put it on Facebook. Do you know what this rude and obnoxious person said to me? And we put it on Facebook so all of our Facebook friends could know what so-and-so did to us. Is that the right way to do it? Sometimes we like to do the veiled, you know, like those veiled posts. You know what the veiled post is? I work with a person right next to me who is rude and obnoxious. No names. Really, the whole office knows, so does everybody else know, right? And the point of the matter is, that sometimes that's how we do it. Or how about this? I'm going to go tell everybody. Because I'm going to get me a following of people. And we're going to get together. We're going to go against that person because we're not putting up with this mess. Is that how Christians to do that? I don't think so. That's between you and that person. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus said, yes, they wronged me, but I love them anyway. I forgave them. My gentleness, my kindness, my goodness led them to the place where they were willing to repent and make it right with me. And what I want to suggest to you today is for every one of us is what we should do is accept the apology that we never received. That would be a game changer. Accept the apology that you never received. And let me suggest you give them a blessing they don't deserve. This is what Jesus did. And what he says for us that we follow Jesus' pattern. What he says is the proper response when we are on the wrong side of a bad blood relationship. Bad blood has a way of robbing us, stealing from us, taking away from us the peace. And Paul talks about be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. This is tough. This is not easy. But I want to tell you this, that peace begins when our demand for payment ends. Who do you need to forgive? I mean, who is in your mind right now do you need to forgive? Forgive the debt right now. Let me suggest you forgive the debt right now and take the first step. What's the first step? For some of you, it might be to write a letter. Maybe that's all you can do is write a letter. How about if a person has passed away? How about if they've died and it's maybe that person that cousin or that uncle or someone who's done something to me or hurt me or wronged me in some way? How do I deal with that? They passed on. Write a letter. Write a letter and ask their forgiveness and apologize yourself for whatever part you had, if any. Seal it, take it, throw it in the trash, and be done with it. But if that person you can, maybe write a letter, send a text, maybe a lunch. I don't know what it could be. It may be down the road, but that would be the first step. Or maybe if it's with God, your first step is to go to Him and ask His forgiveness. Accept Him as your personal Savior. You see, the truth of the matter is, you will never know peace until you follow Jesus' example of restoration. There's no peace in a relationship that's characterized by bad blood, by trying to get vengeance back, or carrying unforgiveness. It always comes when we follow Jesus' pathway. Let's pray.